If you have your Bible this evening, if you'll be turning to the epistle of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, 1 Corinthians 15. Good to see each of you here tonight with your Bibles ready to study. Good to have the Shaws visiting with us. They attend in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, where I've labored in gospel meetings. And we've enjoyed being with them this afternoon. I'll tell you, they're such encouraging people. They uplift your faith, and they've enjoyed getting to talk to them. Workers in the kingdom, and I sure appreciate the support that they give to people and preachers and the love they have for others. And it's so good to have them today, and they've uplifted our family, and we're so thankful they're here. If you have your Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, if you will, look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. When the Apostle Paul was writing, I want you to take note of the statement. He says, I am what I am. That reminds me of a statement that is very important that is found in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus and the third chapter. When God is speaking to Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said, I am that I am. And God said that to Moses as He was sending him to the people. He knew the people would question His authority, and thus God tells Moses that when you go, you tell them, I am sent you. And just as God revealed who He was, the Apostle Paul is going to say some things about who he is. And I believe that Paul says four things that each of us could say about ourselves tonight. And what I'd like to do is look at the four voices of Paul, and then to make the application to our life, the lesson will be yours. The first thing I want you to recognize is the statement made by the Apostle Paul in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. When you stop and think about who is the Apostle Paul, you'll find there are several identifying marks of that man. If you take your Bible, you'll find that Paul is writing. And Paul, when he is writing here in verse 9, he identified himself as an apostle. The apostle Paul is writing, and he's letting the church at Corinth, and he did this in many of his other epistles, letting the people know he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not that he earned that position, not that he deserved that position, but he said, I am an apostle by the grace of God. Paul recognized that he was in that position of authority, and it was only by God's amazing grace. Paul recognized that God gave him that position that he may teach and preach the gospel not only to the Jews, but to the Gentile nations. But then if you take your Bible, notice what else Paul could identify. Paul recognized that he was one who had miraculous power, and that was given to him by God. He recognized that those gifts were given so that he could confirm the message that was being preached. Paul was able to perform miracles so that when someone said, can you prove the message you're preaching is from God, he had this spiritual gift. The miracles was to confirm the Word of God. And Paul said that he had that by the grace of God. But notice, if you will, a third thing. Paul recognized that he was a Christian by the grace of God. Open your Bible for just a moment to the book of Acts and the 26th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 26th chapter, Paul is talking to Agrippa. And Paul is pleading with that man that he would become a child of God. And Paul is presenting before him the case of Jesus Christ. And as Paul is talking to that man, he says in verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Notice his question. He said, do you believe what the prophets had spoken in regard to the Messiah, to the one that would come? Then Paul said, I know that you do. And then notice in verse 28, Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Now watch what Paul said in verse 29. I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both, almost and altogether, watch it, such as I am, except these chains. Paul, what are you pleading with them to become? Paul said, I want you to be such as I am. What are you, Paul? I am what I am by the grace of God. What is that? Nothing more than a Christian. Notice in verse 28 that Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to become what? A Christian, a follower of Christ. So tonight I recognize this one thing. I recognize if one is a Christian, it is by the grace of God. One becomes in Christ by the mercy and blood of Jesus Christ. If you take your Bible, look if you will in the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter, Paul is writing and he said that you were made alive in verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were spiritually separated from God. But then verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see what Paul is saying? That when one comes to Christ, they are a child of God. And they come to God by His amazing grace. Then if you take your Bible, look if you will, in the book of Titus. Not only does one become a Christian by the amazing grace of God, but one is saved by the new birth. In the book of Titus and the third chapter, notice if you will, verse 5. Look at what he says about one being saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Do you recognize that when one is baptized into Christ, their sins have been blotted out? Now, my friend, when you obey God and you're immersed into Christ, you've not earned your salvation. You don't come up out of the water and beat your chest and say, look at what I've done. What you have done is accepted the terms of pardon. You've come to God on His terms, and God will take away your sin. By the blood of Jesus Christ, one is washed clean. One is now redeemed. One is now reconciled. One is now adopted into the family of God. And what do they become? Oh, look at that. By the grace of God, they become Christians. But then I want you to think about something else, Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 10, look at what else he said. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Notice Paul was a worker for the kingdom of God. Paul, why would you go out and work? Paul said, I was motivated by God's grace to bring others to know this truth. That they too can be a child of God. That they can become a Christian. So I recognize that Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But then notice, if you will, something else. Paul not only said, I am what I am. Paul recognized a second truth. And the second voice could be Paul saying, I am not what I used to be. When you look back, think about what Paul used to be. If you take your Bible, you can turn to the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, and you'll find at one time Paul persecuted the church of my Lord. Paul sought to destroy it and wipe it off. Paul sought to do that which would bring harm to the body of Christ. And yet that man changed. He was a man who at one time would cast his vote that they would put to death Christians. He was a man that held the coats of the ones who stoned Stephen. And now, my friend, by the grace of God, he's changed. He's no longer that man. Have you ever thought that Paul said, that's what I was at one time, but God's grace has changed me. I am not what I used to be. Ever thought about that truth? Have you ever thought that's true in the Bible? Have you ever thought about what Paul said to the church at Ephesus that we read a moment ago? At one time, they were dead in their sin. At one time, they were separated from God. But he said, by their obedience to God's will, now they are children of God. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice, if you will, what Paul said in verse 9 beginning. I'll get it. In verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Now that's a list. And Paul said, I want it marked down, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They would be sad if that's where the sentence ended. But look at verse 11. "And such were some of you." That's what they were. They're no longer in that condition. Why? Look at verse 11. "You were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." There were people in the city of Corinth that came to the gospel. They believed in Jesus Christ. And notice, they changed. They're no longer living in sin. They're no longer living contrary to God's law. He said, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Jesus." Paul said, "I'm not what I used to be. I am what I am by the grace of God." And then he says, "I'm not what I used to be." And the people in Ephesus and the people in Corinth and all those who had been converted, which means changed, were people that once were something. They were sinners. Now they're saints in the kingdom of God. But that brings up another thought. If you go and look at a third statement Paul made, Paul not only would have said, "I am what I am," and Paul also could have said, "I am not what I used to be," but Paul could say, "I'm not what I hope to be." Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look, if you will, at what Paul had to say in verse 6. "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight, and we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Paul said, "I'm not what I used to be." And Paul says, "I'm not what I hope to be." Well, Paul, what is it you hope to be? Paul says, "My hope is to be present with the Lord, to go to heaven when I die." Open your Bible to the Philippian letter and the first chapter. And when you look in the Philippian letter and the first chapter, notice what Paul said in verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now stop it. When you read that sentence, if you take out Christ, can you put anything else there? "For me to live is recreation and to die is gain?" No. "For me to live is to make a lot of money and to die is gain?" No. The only word that fits there is Christ. "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." For anything else, to die is not gain. To die would be loss and to lose what you thought you had. The only gain death brings if one is in Christ. Then look at what he said. "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I choose, I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Notice that man's desire. What? To go to heaven, to be in the presence of God, to be in paradise, to be with Him for eternity. Look, if you will, most kindly, to what Paul said in the to Titus in chapter 1. If you look in your Bible in Titus chapter 1 that we wrote a moment ago, Paul wants him to know where his hope is. Paul wants Titus to recognize what his desire is. And I think it should be the desire of every one of us tonight. In Titus 1 verse 2, he said, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time again." So Paul said, "I'm not what I used to be." And then Paul would say, "I'm not what I hope to be." Now then, I want you to think about something else. Paul could say, "I'm not yet what I ought to be." Have you ever thought that Paul recognized that there were still some things he needed to make right? And Paul recognized that as long as he's in the flesh, that there would be a battle. Paul had this constant battle with the evil one. And he often recognized he wasn't what he ought to be. And Paul wanted to make sure he was right with God. If you have your Bible, look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, notice, if you will, beginning at verse 27. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul said, I want to make sure that I make my life right and I subject myself and my body is in subjection to God, and that when I preach to others, I do not disqualify myself by living a life contrary to God's will. So Paul could say, I am what I am by grace. Paul could say, I am not what I used to be. Paul could say, I'm not what I ought to be. And Paul could say, I'm not yet what I hope to be. Now let's make the application. Have you ever thought we could say those four things tonight? Can you say tonight, I'm not what I used to be? If you're a Christian tonight, you know one of the greatest blessings you have is to say, I'm not what I used to be. I've changed. And tonight I raise the question, can you say, I'm changed? I've been converted. I've blotted out those past sins by the grace of God. I've come to Him and God has forgiven me and I'm no longer a sinner. Oh, that doesn't mean that I don't fall short. It doesn't mean I don't sin. What that means is I'm not living a life that willfully and deliberately is contrary to God's will. And when I make my mistakes and when I sin, I confess it to my God. Doesn't mean I'm a member of some denomination. I recognize I'm nothing more than a Christian. Blood bought. And I want you to think, my friend, I'm not what I used to be. One of the blessings is I'm no longer living contrary to God. But then secondly, I'm not what I ought to be just yet. You know, there's some things I need to work on. There's some things in the life of your preacher he needs to work on to make sure he doesn't disqualify. I recognize that in my life I've got many weaknesses. And you know, I look at and I see individuals and I have to raise the question, are we what we ought to be? Are we what we ought to be in our attendance? Now, you're here tonight, and I'm thankful for that. And I probably should have preached this morning. But some just aren't what they ought to be in regard to coming and serving God. And some are not what they ought to be in their life. It's one thing to attend. It's another thing to go out into the world and live it in before others. And others aren't what they ought to be in far as showing mercy. Oh, we often want God to show mercy to us, but we won't extend it to others. And I need to be a person that is tender-hearted and compassionate. That's commanded in the Scripture. And then I want you to think about some aren't what they ought to be in hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I will tell you, my friend, that there are some people who just need to get back in the book. And sometimes I think about in my life how much we take God's Word for granted when we should just look at this Word and we should live by its precepts and be thankful that the Creator has revealed Himself to us. But I want to tell you a third thing. I'm not yet what I hope to be. I think about what's written in 1 John chapter 3. Oh, 1 John chapter 3 means more to me the older I get. And 1 John chapter 3 has helped me through some hard times. When I think about the words of John when he says in verse 1, behold, and notice John is excited about writing this, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Exclamation point. Behold that love. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. Tonight you are in Christ. If you have had your sins blotted out, tonight you're a child of God. Now you're a child of God. But look at what he says. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You ever wanted to see the face of Christ? Can you imagine what that day will be like? And I want to know, my friend, are you living in hope of eternal life? Is that your hope? But one last thing. I'm not what I used to be. but I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, sometimes I hear people and they want to say, once you've committed a certain sin, you can't be forgiven. I want to tell you that's not right. In 1 Corinthians 6, what did Paul say? Paul said, such were some of you. And any sin that is blotted out is a sin that needs to be taken off the book. And I recognize this evening that when an individual makes their life right, that is no longer held to their charge. God blots it out. And I want to raise the question, are you what you are by the grace of God? Nothing but a Christian? Are you following in the footsteps of Jesus? Are you His disciple? Do you know the peace of putting your head on the pillow at night, knowing that if you don't wake in the morning, that you will be where you hope to be? Oh, I'm not what I need to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. Thanks to His amazing grace. Oh, I thank God for His grace. I recognize if it was left up to the works of my criticism, I'd miss it. God extends His mercy to you, to me, to all. That by His mercy and grace, our sins can be blotted out and we can fulfill His will and be obedient to Him and serve Him until we are where we hope to be, with Him in eternity. If you're here this evening and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.